Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. I'm reading today from a message by Charles Spurgeon. It's actually a book of his, book of sermons. This is talking about the trial of your faith. He says the trial of our faith usually comes in the form of affliction. Our jealous lover uses tests that it may be seen whether he has our heart. The trial of your faith comes thus. You say, Lord Jesus, I love thee. Thou art my best beloved. Well, says the heavenly lover, if it be so then the child that nestles in thy bosom will sicken and die. What wilt thou say then? If thou be indeed true in what thou hast stated concerning thy supreme love to Jesus, you will give up your darling at his call and say, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord is very jealous of our love. I do not mean that he is so towards all of you. I speak of his own people. The more he loves us, the more he tests us. Whatever it may be with us poor creatures, it's always so with Jesus, that his love goes with his jealousy, his jealousy with his love. Sometimes he says, good woman, I shall take away your husband, on whom you lean, that you may lean the more on me. I remember Mr. Rutherford writing to a lady who had lost 5 children, and her husband says to her, oh, how Christ must love you. He would take every bit of your heart to himself. He would not permit you to reserve any of your soul for any earthly thing. Can we stand that test? Can we let all go for his sake? Do you answer that you can? Well, time will show. And my Lord sometimes comes to me in this fashion. He says, I have made you to trust me these many years. I've supplied the wants of your work by liberal friends. I'm about to remove a generous helper. Well, I go to the grave of my friend, and the suggestion dogs me. Who is to provide for the orphanage and the college after other dear friends are buried? Can you trust God then? Blessed be the name of the Lord. This fiery trial has never even left the smell of fire upon me. I know whom I have believed. And then a dear brother, our best worker, our heartiest helper, comes to me and says, goodbye, dear pastor. Maybe I will never see you again on earth. He's very ill. He's about to lie under the surgeon's knife, and the fear is that he may not rally. I go home and I say to myself, what shall I do without this useful man? And then I have to say, why, do what I have done before. Trust in the living God. If you once get to walk the walk of faith, the Lord will often try you in this way to see whether you come up to your own confession, whether you really trust in the Lord and have your expectation from him alone. Can you truly say, yes, should you take them all away, yet would I not repine, as the song goes. If every earthly prop were knocked away, would you? Could you stand by the lone power of your foundation? God may not send you this or that trial, but he will send you a sufficient amount of trial to let you see whether your faith is truth or talk, whether you have truly entered the spiritual world or have only dreamed of doing so. Believe me, there's a great difference between a diamond and a paste gem, and the Lord would not have mistaken at the last. So, you see, the trials of faith are very various. In the third place, your faith will be tried individually. The text says the trial of your faith. Oh, dear friend, it's an interesting subject, is it not? The trial of faith. It's not quite so pleasant to study alone the trial of your faith. Yeah, it's stern work when it comes to be your trial. And the trial of your faith, you haven't gone much into that particular department, perhaps. Well, I say again, do not wish to do so. Do not ask for trials. Children must not ask to be whipped, or saints pray to be tested. There is a little book which you'll have to eat, and it will be bitter in your mouth, but sweet later. That book is the trial of your faith. The Lord Jesus Christ has been glorified by the trial of his people's faith. He has to be glorified by the trial of your faith. You're very obscure, perhaps, dear brother. You have few talents, my dear sister. But nevertheless, there's a particular shape and form of trial that will have to be exercised upon you rather than anyone else. Oh, say you, I know it, sir, I know it. Well, then, if you know it, don't complain of it. Because when you have your own trial and the trial of your own faith, you're only treated like the rest of the family. What son is there whom the father chastens not? You are only treated like the head of the family. You are only treated in the way which the great father of the family knows is necessary for us all. God had one son without sin, but he never had a son without trial. And he never will have until he has taken us all home out of this world. Why should we expect that God should deal better with us than he does with the rest of his chosen? Indeed, it would not be better, after all, because these trials are the means of working out our lasting good. But if it were not so, who am I, and who are you, that God should pamper us? Would we have him put us in a glass case and shield us from the trials which are common to all the chosen seed? I ask no such portion. Let me fare as the saints fare. I only wish to have their bread and their water and love their father and follow their guide and find their home. We'll make our meals with them, whatever God puts upon the table for them, will we not? The trial of our faith will be all our own, and yet it will be in fellowship with all the family of grace. Fourth, your faith will be tried searchingly. It will be no child's play to come under the divine tests. Our faith is not merely jingled on the counter like the shilling which the tradesman suspects, but it is tried with fire. For so it is written, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. The blows of the flail of tribulation are not given in sport, but in awful earnest, as some of us know, who have been chastened sore, almost to death. The Lord tries the very life of our faith, not its beauty and its strength alone, but its very existence. The iron enters into the soul. The sharp medicine searches the inmost parts of the belly. The man's real self is made to endure the trial. It's easy to talk of being tried, but it's by no means so simple a matter to endure the ordeal. Fifthly, let me yet further observe that your faith will be tried for an abundantly useful purpose. The trial of your faith will increase, develop, deepen, and strengthen it. Oh, you've said, I wish I had more faith. Well, your prayer will be heard through your having more trial. Often in our prayers, we have sought for a stronger faith to look within the veil. The way to stronger faith usually lies along the rough pathway of sorrow. Only as faith is contested will faith be confirmed. Now, I do not know whether my experience is that of all God's people, but I am afraid that all the grace that I have got out of my comfortable and easy times and happy hours might almost lie on a penny. But the good that I have received from my sorrows and pains and griefs is altogether incalculable. What do I not owe to the hammer and the anvil, the fire and the file? What do I not owe to the crucible and the furnace, the bellows that have blown up the coals, and the hand which has thrust me into the heat. Affliction is the best bit of furniture in my house. It's the best book in a minister's library. We may wisely rejoice in tribulation because it works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And by that way, we are exceedingly enriched, and our faith grows strong. The trial of our faith is useful, not only because it strengthens it, but because it leads to a discovery of our faith to ourselves. I notice an old Puritan using this illustration. He says, "You shall go into a wood when you please, but if you're very quiet, you will not know whether there is a partridge or a pheasant or a rabbit in it. But when you begin to move about or make a noise, you very soon see the living creatures. They rise or they run. So when affliction comes into the soul and makes a disturbance and breaks our peace, uprise our graces. Faith comes out of its hiding. Love leaps from its secret place." I remember Mr. William Jay saying that birds' nests are hard to find in summertime, but anyone could find a bird's nest in winter. When all of the leaves are off the trees, the nests are visible to all. Often in the days of our prosperity, we fail to find our faith. But when our adversity comes, the winter of our trial bears the boughs, and we see our faith at once. We're sure that we believe now, and for we feel the effect of faith upon our character. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray," said David, "but now I have kept your word." He found that his faith was really there by his keeping God's word in the time of his affliction. It's a great mercy, then, to have your faith tried, that you may be sure beyond all manner of question that you are a true believer. Besides, when faith is tried, it brings God's glory. How it honors God when a man can say with a smiling face, in prospect of death, "Goodbye, dear sir. I may never see you here again, but we shall meet above." We who are in health envy the brother who has such joy amid sharp pain. I went the other day to see a dear brother who has since then gone above. He was swollen with dropsy and was close to the brink of the grave. But to hear the song of assurance and the utterances of his joy was most sweet and cheering. It made me feel how good God is to his servants. He never leaves nor forsakes them when they come to their most painful times. This trial of our faith does good to our fellow Christians. They see how we are supported. They learn to bear their troubles bravely. I do not know anything that is better for making us brave than to see others believe in Christ and bear up manfully. To see that blind saint so happy, it makes us ashamed to be sad. To see content in an inmate of the workhouse compels us to be thankful. Sufferers are our tutors. They educate us for the skies. When men of God can suffer, when they can bear poverty, bereavement, sickness, and still rejoice in God, we learn the way to live the higher and more Christly life. When Patrick Hamilton had been burned in Scotland, one said to his persecutors, "If you're going to burn anymore, you'd better do it in a cellar, for the smoke of Hamilton's burning has opened the eyes of hundreds." It was always so. Suffering saints are living seed. Oh, that God might help us to such faith that when we come to suffer in life or to expire in death, we may so glorify God that others may believe in him. May we preach sermons by our faith which shall be better than sermons in words. My time has gone. I have so much to say to you. I wanted to say to you about the trial of your faith, dear friends, that some are tried very specially. Some endure many more tests than others. That's because God has a great favor to them. Many men God does not love well enough to whip them. They're the devil's children, and the Heavenly Father does not trouble them. They're none of his, and so he lets them have a happy life, perhaps an easy death. Psalm 73, there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. But they are to be pitied, not envied. Woe to you that laugh now, you shall weep. Woe to you who have your portion in this life, it shall go ill with you in the world to come. God's children are often much chastened because they are much loved. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Men take most trouble with that which is most precious. A common pebble will be left alone. But a diamond must be fretted on the wheel till its brilliance is displayed. Some persons are also much tried in their faith because they are very fit for it. God has fitted the back for a heavy burden. The burden will be sent. He's constituted them on purpose that they should be helpful in filling up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ for his body's sake, which is the church. Men build strong columns because they are meant to carry great weights. And so God makes great Christians on purpose that they should bear great afflictions for his glory. He does this also because he would have some men do him a special service. What an honor it is to be able to do the Lord a special service. When some man in our army behaves himself very grandly and wins a battle, what will Her Majesty do? Why, she'll send for him next time a war arises. If any of you are brave in bearing affliction, you shall have the honor of enduring more affliction. Does not every soldier court the opportunity of service? He that looks over his soldiers says of certain ones, I shall not send him. He's feeble and faint-hearted. Yonder veteran is the man for me. Do not think that you would be honored by being allowed to ride to heaven on a feather bed. True honor lies in being permitted to bear and suffer side by side with him of the bloody sweat and of the five open wounds. This is the hero of the saints. This is the one that will be decorated with many a sorrow, many a tear. They shall walk with their Lord in white, for they are worthy. Yes, dear friends, the Lord often sends us greater trials than others, because he means to qualify us for greater enjoyments. If you want to make a pool capable of holding more water, you dig it out, don't you? And many a man has been dug and enlarged by affliction. The enlargement of trial enable us to hold more grace and more glory. The more a gracious man suffers, the more he becomes capable of entering into fellowship with Christ in his sufferings, and so into fellowship with Christ in his glory by and by. Come, let us be comforted as to the trial of our faith. There's no hurt in it. It's all for good. The trial of our faith is entirely in the hands of God. Nobody can try us without God's permission. He'll try us just as much as we ought to be tried, no more. While he tries us with one hand, he'll sustain us with the other. If he gives us bitters, he'll give us sweets in full proportion. A dear sister said to me this week, when I used to be in poverty and in trouble, the word of God was much more sweet to me than it is now that I am prospered. I do not wonder at it. I've made a similar remark when I've been long without an illness. Some of us have cried, take me back to my sickness again. Take me back to slander and rebukes again. A Scotch saint said that when they met in the moss or by the hillside and were harried by Claverhouse and his dragoons, Christ was present at the sacraments in the heather much more than he ever was afterwards when they got up into the kirk, the church building, and sat down quietly. Our worst days are often our best days, and in the dark we see stars that we never saw in the light. So we will not care a pin what it is that may befall us here, so long as God is with us and our faith in him is genuine. Christian people, I'm not going to condole with you, but I congratulate you upon your troubles, for the cross of Christ is precious. But you that do not love my Lord and Master, if you roll in riches, if your eyes stand out with fatness, I mourn over you. Bullocks fattened for the slaughter. Your joys are but the prelude to your woes. Oh, that God would have mercy upon you, and that you would have mercy upon yourselves, and flee at once to Jesus. Put your trust in him. Faith in the work, offices, and person of the Lord Jesus is the way of salvation. May he help you to run in it at this hour for his name's sake. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for Charles Spurgeon again. No comment on that message. It needs no comment. Do look around the site and looking for other things that might bless you. I have a lot of other Spurgeon and other great men of God here. Please go to the new blog that I've got out called CriesFromAmongUs.com. Would you please go there? Would you leave a comment? I'm trying to unsettle some that need to be unsettled. There is a practice going on in the Christian church that is abusive toward young people, perhaps others. We need more accountability. We need pastors to stop enclosing themselves in their little groups and saying that they are lords over all. We need the church to be the church and to bow down before the Lord and each other and say, here's my life, let's work together. Well, please go there and see what's going on in some parts of the Christian church and pray with me and cry with me as I have cried over these people. It's CriesFromAmongUs.com. Thank you so much for being here today. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.